We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Former Buckeye linebacker James Laurinaitis is with us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. James, how are you, buddy? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're great, man. Excited about it. And another year, you know, it's funny. Last year, it felt like maybe this was the year Michigan was going to win and Ohio State kicked their butt again. And now this year, it kind of feels like, oh, no way Michigan can win. But
I'm
as you
nervous.
Know,
I'm still nervous.
Anything can happen when these teams play, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And I think it's more of a, how do I word this? It's really about when were you born, you know?
Right, sure.
And were you, if you were, if you're over 35 or you're up towards 40 and you remember the 90s and the years that Michigan took away a lot of those really talented Coach Koop teams, then I think you're nervous, right? Because you don't want them to – and sure, Michigan, I think at any given point can beat you. That's kind of not the argument we've been having on our local show. The local show kind of thing has been, do you foresee them turning the tide how we have on them? And I just don't think that's happening. But it still makes you nervous, right? Because anytime you have everything right in front of you, the thing that I don't like about it is, you know, you have the Buckeye fans who will say, well, I mean, if we lose to them, we can still win the Big Ten title and you know, go to the playoff. And I hate living in a world where we can accept that.
Yeah,
so
that's terrible.
I'm not trying to accept that.
James, what worries you the most about Michigan? If Michigan was going to win this game, they would do what?
You know, it's not even a fact of what Michigan would do. It's the fact that the last 2 weeks, you can make all the excuses you want about Rutgers and how it's hard to study for that game, right, or prepare for that game. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is they got 21 points on you, you know, and they had a quarterback run and they had a tailback run. So you're like, okay, well, not great, not great focus. Then you back that up with a game that should have been a blowout against Penn State just by the way of it, and you turn the ball over and over. So I don't know if Ohio State has peaked. I don't know if they've played their best ball or it's just the last 2 weeks because we've been so spoiled of how they've looked all year.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that Michigan has talent out on the perimeter. The hard thing is, you know, you would say, gosh, I love our matchup with Ohio State because of Arnett and Okuda and, you know, Wade and Fuller, all those guys. I mean, you got four guys in the secondary that are going to be playing on Sundays and high picks, I believe, you know, first three round picks. And so it's, yeah, they have Bell, they have, you know, Peoples Jones, and they have, you know, their stable of receivers that can go up and get it. But you just, it's all the unknown stuff. I think, honestly, if Ohio State and Michigan play their best, Ohio State's going to win. That's simple. But these are still college kids and you never know. And I think it was a blessing that they handled some adversity last week and had to go four quarters. But that's also a very physical game that they're coming off of. And what's Justin's health like? Is his ankle okay from being rolled up on? Is his hand okay? Is not throwing hand? There's some residual bumps and bruises. It's the first time they're going to have to play two physical games back to back, and we'll see how they handle it.
James, I want to talk to you about Chase Young, who is already moved second all-time in Buckeyes history in sacks. He needs six more sacks to pass Mike Vrabel, who played 4 years. You know, obviously, you were part of it. Ohio State has a history of great defensive players, and this guy is playing at such a ridiculous level. How do you put it into perspective how good he has been this year?
No, it's hard to. It really is. I mean, I was on that team with Vern when he set the single season sack record.
Yeah.
And the thing about Vern was, you know, you would be frustrated at times because you'd be like, how aren't you having three or four sacks against Youngstown State in the first half, you know? But then again, he'd show up and have four or three against Michigan, you know, and you're like, where is this all year? Where that's what Chase has been doing. And you can assume, like, see those numbers and think he didn't play against two of the worst O-lines in the Big Ten. He didn't play against Rutgers and Maryland. And so you could say, okay, well, no one would be watching that you know, as far as nationally. No, but they would be looking at the box score, and they'd see, gosh, Young had three again. He had three again. And then we, I mean, if you think he had four against Wisconsin, three against Penn State, if he plays a half, heck, give him four in those, two games.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a legit chance to catch Mike Vrabel, and it's fun to watch. I think that he'll obviously bring a lot of hardware home, and I think that he will be in New York City. I don't know if he catches Joe Burrow. We all know how that is with the quarterback position. But if that award is strictly for the best player in college football, name me another one who's been so dominant. He's been unreal.
James Laurinaitis is with us. James, and you do a lot of work with Big Ten Network as well, so you cover the conference. What's the word on Harbaugh? And, you know, how is his seat hot? I mean, if he doesn't beat Ohio State here, he will not have a victory against the Buckeyes. But yet, I mean, he gets, 9-10 wins every season. It's just hard to imagine them moving on from him.
Yeah, co-host Bo Bishop posted on our show today, is he basically our version of Coach Cooper, right, where you kind of beat everybody else along the way, but you can't get over your rival. I don't know. We had a guy on from The Athletic that covers them from up in Detroit today, and I said, what does it feel? I asked that exact question. Are they, if he loses this, does he get warm? And he said, I think they kind of realize this year, last year was so upsetting that this year they realized it would be an upset. It's fascinating kind of how I think that Michigan fans assumed that they were closer in talent level to Ohio State. I don't think they really realized how far behind they had fallen after the Rich Rod and Brady Hoke eras. But if you're recruiting like we are, top three in the nation, year in, year out, top five, and it's nice to get a top 10 class, to get 10, 11, 12, in that area. But unless you win that game to really turn the tide, like there is still a gap from the third or fourth class to, number 10, 11, or whatever it is, there is still a talent gap. And let alone the mental kind of aspect of this, the fact that they've won once in the last decade. So it's been really slighted in our favor. It's one of those games, I don't get nervous for these ones. I was nervous last year because of how good their defense was. Sure. If you ask me, I don't think their defense is as good as this year. It's hard for me to think you lost Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush and you're better. And we see what Devin Bush is doing in the NFL. He's a very productive player. So I think, that they're not as good there. Is their offense a little more, in sync? Maybe. But it still blows my mind. I've been so wrong about this. When Harbaugh got there, I thought for sure that if he could get a guy like Andrew Luck and develop him at Stanford, gosh, what would he be able to do at Michigan? Or what about, here we'll come back to tailbacks like a Mike Hart, and some big-time dudes toting rock up there. And the fact that there just hasn't been, there hasn't been a tailback. There hasn't been one dude at Michigan since Mike Hart. And it's just hard to fathom.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always had great running backs. I mean, between Yakuba Tuka and Chris Perry – Mike Hart. Yeah. I mean, there's always was a dominant running back for forever. I mean,
yeah.
Well, why do you think it is, Jane? Why do you think he hasn't been? Because obviously he's a great coach, and you said it. I mean, he's been a good recruiter. Why do you think he hasn't been able to get that?
What's interesting is that he really is a guy that hasn't prioritized. I think back when this rivalry really kicked off, and Herb Street talked about it this morning on Golic and Wingo, but it really kind of kicked off where, you had Bo left Woody and then started recruiting Ohio guys, and once you got Ohio guys and then they beat that 69 team, that's when the 10-year war kind of started. Whenever they've been good, they've been able to have a foothold in Cleveland area high schools. They've been able to, mess with you in Toledo and kind of creep down for some big time guys. And I don't know for whatever reason, but he was asked earlier this week by some Columbus media why he doesn't prioritize Ohio in recruiting. And his only response was, I don't know where you're going with that question. And I think if there's ever, I'm not breaking news here. Ohio high school football is way better than Michigan's, Ohio has an unbelievable high school football program. And when we're able to basically put a fence around our state, and then when they have a player, go get a guy from Cas Tech up there and bring him down, I think that's a real issue. He goes so much more national and hasn't been able to steal Ohio kids who have a real, urge to want to beat Ohio State. And for whatever reason, I think that's some of it. And then you have to wonder about his assistants actually developing kids? You know, did their guys get better from 18 to 21? Whereas Chase Young was always going to be an NFL player. He was, as 18 years old, guys had him on a notepad, like, hey, pay attention to this kid. But to become that from an NFL body type and measurables to now having as many sacks and tackles for losses as he has, it means that Larry Johnson has developed them and Mickey Marotti, the strength coach, has developed them. And I'm not sure they have that system in place like Urban Meyer brought here. Now Ryan Day is continuing.
What's Ryan Day like, James? I mean, we've had him on the show. I've actually never met him in person. Seems to be awesome. Very, very likable guy. I'm curious what he's like. And I'm sure you interact with him a little bit more than most.
Yeah, you know, he's just authentic. I think that's the best way to put it. You know, he's the first coach since Coop that didn't really, you know, Ryan didn't grow up here, right? Neither did I. I mean, I tell people that all the time. I knew about the rivalry, but I never really watched it intently. I'm a Minnesota kid, so the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe was a much bigger deal to me growing up. But I was like, once you get here, you live it. So this is his first time with the whistle around his neck as the head guy coming in here and experiencing this from that perspective. But he is a very much a authentic guy. He believes in tough love. That's his mantra. He thinks that if the guys know that you love them, they'll run through a wall for you, but it has to be a tough love. And for instance, you know, if you know somebody that you respect and you love and they give you criticism and it's constructive, you take it a certain way versus someone who might just be a dictator, right? And just tell you a certain way and think you got to take it because of the coach player relationship. He really believes that he wants his guys to know that he has their back and he loves them. But then that once they know that, it'll allow him to be, you know, to expect a certain kind of way of playing from them. So he's crushed absolutely everything that he's done. But he's mentioned it multiple times this week. He also knows that this is the one that means the most to the people in Ohio, and he's got to get it.
We're talking with James Laurinaitis. James, you talk about not being an Ohio guy yourself. And you say, you know, obviously you learn about the rivalry quick, but it didn't mean anything to you as a kid. When you come to Ohio State, or even, I guess, as you're getting recruited to Ohio State, like, do you have to kind of learn that from other players? Do you learn it from just being, once you get here? When did you realize, for you personally, what this rivalry meant?
Well, the first time I watched it was in 2004. I watched it on TV because I knew I was going to come here. Teddy had a punt return for a touchdown that game in the Shoe, and I remember being like, oh, well, yeah, you see how important it was, people running on the field, all that stuff. Now it's an Alamo Bowl year. And then in 05 is really, I mean, once you step into that locker room and you become part of that team, you really start saying, okay, wait, this is training camp practice one, and we have a period called Maize and Blue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why are we working on turnover circuit right now? There's always something intentional all through, you know, camp, every single practice that was targeted towards Ohio State and Michigan. So I think that's one of the things that you always kind of realize is, oh, okay. And plus, the benefit for me, to be honest, is that we had seniors on the team who had actually been through losses to that
right.
team. And so you saw how serious they took it. And it was just such a priority. And then, you know, once you get to the week and you're on campus and people are basically letting you know that their whole livelihood depends on it with their mood and how they approach the day, you're like, okay, yeah, they take it seriously.
All right, James, last thing. We got to get a prediction if you can. You're allowed to.
Yeah. I think Ohio State continues to roll. I think Ryan Day has Don Brown's number. They worked together at BC back in the day, and I think he has him figured out at coordinator. I think Ohio State wins probably around, if I had to say, like 31-21 in that range.
Okay.
What do you make of the Browns? They get to 500 this week?
Yeah, I think they do. The Steelers can't score. I mean, we want them in the field out there, and they're going with the duck man at quarterback. So yeah, I think the Brownies keep it rolling, and we'll see what number will kind of magically be enough for them. It looks good for them that the Raiders have stumbled, you know, against the Jets, and you know, and I think up there they got to say, hey, we got to take it one game at a time, and that's the right approach. But it's starting to seem like things are getting a little more comfortable on the offensive side of the ball, right? There's still some things they do every game that make you want to, you know, bang your head on the wall, but they're all growing in this thing together, you know? So it's a lot of pressure. It's not easy when you have a first time head coach and a second year quarterback. And then you bring in OBJ, who has the most followers in the world, it seems like, in social media. So it's a whole lot, and I'm sure they've done some things to hurt themselves in that respect too. But winning cures everything, doesn't it?
Certainly does.
You're right about that.
Hey, James, I know you're going to be on the call the Rutgers-Penn State game on Big Ten Network this weekend. What do you make of what's going on with Shiano and Rutgers right now, or not going on?
It is nuts. It's an absolutely nuts little thing. When you have Shiano, who is guy that can bring some instant respectability to that program, and they just don't have it. You think that a Big Ten team would need to petition for an indoor, is crazy. And they've decided to invest against future Big Ten network money into different areas and not being competitive in football. And it really seems like a clash of egos with everything you read between the athletic director and the head coach. And it's a shame because there's not a lot of coaches out there with pedigree that were thinking, hey, let's go to Rutgers, right? And yeah. He is one of those guys that was ready to do it under certain stipulations. It wasn't asking to be the highest paid coach in the Big Ten East or anything. He was going to be still the bottom quarter in salary. And I know there was a lot made about the private jet usage. Well, he took that back off the table. So I think, he was willing to negotiate with them. And for whatever reason, it sounds like the athletic director just pulled it. The most telling thing was the athletic director, from everything you read, when he had his initial list back in October after he fired Chris Ash, Greg Schiano was not on the list. And so I think, he got pressured by others around and board members who wanted him on it and slid him on there. And then all these demands came. And I think it just became a kind of everyone sticking their chest out, who's going to budge. And to where Schiano was finally like, forget it. Like, I'm willing to come here and try to fix this thing, make you guys respectable, not win or compete, but make it so, gosh, you're losing to the Big Ten East heavyweights. You're only losing to them 35-14 and not 71-14. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bad situation right now.
James, last thing you mentioned, obviously you grew up in Minnesota and the Paul Bunyan Zacks, and this is one of the biggest games ever. Minnesota, the winner of this game,
big game,
is going to the Big Ten Championship. Minnesota's played great. They had the one loss. Are you still a Minnesota fan, or do you not care?
I don't care anymore, really, in that respect, because you feel like my blood's so deep with Ohio State.
Right.
You don't really care. But I know my grandparents are still Minnesota fans. They became Buckeye fans for 4 years.
Yeah.
and they still root for Ohio State until they play each other. But my one of my best friends growing up was Dominique Barber, whose older brother was Marion, played for the Cowboys.
Okay, sure,
Dom played for the Texans for four. Well, his younger brother, Thomas, is one of the linebackers that plays. And so, they got the whole family that's gone through there. And when you're a kid, you were always dreaming. Heck, you'd play NCAA on video games and pick Minnesota, and you'd actually make them into a top two team, and you'd be like, oh gosh, what if this actually happened? And it seems like it's actually happening up there, with game day coming and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be cheering for the Gophers, two reasons. Obviously the home state people I know and love that root for them, and I want them to be happy, but also I would like to see a different team in the Big Ten title game
instead
of seeing Wisconsin again.
James, we appreciate it, man. Happy holidays.
Good stuff, James. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you too, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.